Well, over the last several weeks, I think it's been about 6 weeks maybe since I've been up here. You're wondering what I've been doing, all kinds of projects. And don't mind the little occasional light show flickers. We have some weird things going on, so it's just the Holy Spirit's moving, right? So what I've been doing is I've been just kind of taking time and just searching out God, saying, God, you know, what do you want to do, first of all, in me? How do you want to revive me and bring life to me? But God, how do you want to move through Gaines Church and the people? And I've been specifically was praying that God would bring revival to this body in particular, because the revival has to start with us as Christians, doesn't it? We have to have passion and love and a desire to be in the presence of God and to be His likeness in this world. It starts with us. And the thing that He kept bringing me back to is, you know, I'm expecting, okay, change this, do that, do this. He kept coming back to this, prayer. My people need to pray. I've given them this incredible gift, this incredible treasure called prayer, and they're not using it. Or they might look at it as something where they check it off a list that, okay, if I'm a good Christian, I do this, 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 and this, this, and there I'm done. And he's like, I don't want it to be a checklist. I don't want it to be an obligation. It's a privilege. It's a treasured gift, because you get to enter into a conversation with God, the divine one. And if we're honest, aren't we longing for that? Aren't we longing for a connection, a touch from God? Just to know that He's here, to know that He's moving in our lives, and to know that He's in control of the world. And He keeps coming back and saying to me, you want to know all that stuff? It's in prayer. It's in prayer when you start to see how great I am, and you start to see the majesty of my creation. You start to see all the things that I'm doing. And it's when you have this deep connection with me in prayer that you find hope. It's in prayer that we find restoration. It's in prayer that we start to see lives that are changed and transformed. And I think that there's probably not one person in here that would say that prayer isn't important to the Christian walk. That prayer is the foundation of our belief. It's the foundation of the church. But then the question is this: how often are you in prayer? How often are you connecting with the divine? Is it important? I mean, I hear a lot of people say this. They say that they're too busy to pray. I'm just telling you, you better slow down and pray, because you're heading for a great crash. People are saying they can't connect with God. They feel like He's absent, He's distant, he's really not even present. He can't be in control. But yet they're not in prayer. And it's when you're in prayer that all of a sudden all of these things start to fade away. And you start to see that God is really in control. And the only way that you're going to really get to know Him is if you pause in your life and you make it a priority. And you say, God, I surrender. I surrender this time to you. And now prayer, we look at though as a checklist, right? I just went through a bunch of lists of things that people need help for, right? We're good at the grocery list or the to-do list for God, right? But God is saying prayer is so much more. Yeah, that's one aspect of it. I'm going to have a seizure, okay? You know, this thing's really going. So I think that's God saying, come on, keep going, go faster, right? So, prayer is like, God is like going, get into it. You want to find me? That's where it is. In fact, Jesus even says, you want to get a little bit of God? Get alone with Him, and you will get God. There's a time in the New Testament where if you take a snapshot of Jesus' prayer life, it's just incredible. Jesus didn't do anything without prayer. There's one of these times where Jesus was so exhausted. He was tired. He was overwhelmed. He didn't even want to meet with people, because he had been taking time to heal people. He had been comforting people and ministering to people. But he comes to this town and these people are like, oh, and it's Jesus, and we need more of you. We need help. And all of a sudden Jesus, it says, he's moved in compassion. He sees the people are people, they don't have a shepherd. They don't have somebody to love them and nurture them and care for them. So he pauses, even though he's tired and he's weary. And he takes a whole day or evening and heals the people and ministers to the people and loves the people. But then what does he do next, it says? He goes out into the hills to be alone with God. And he starts to connect with the Holy Spirit. You know, one thing that I think that we got a little bit confused sometimes is we don't pray to the Holy Spirit, do we? The Holy Spirit is God in us. He's part of this Godhead, which is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. He is God. And he's here with us, and he wants us to have that conversation, that dialogue. It's like we want to skip the Holy Spirit and go right to the Father. No, the Holy Spirit's here inside of us. We need to start to connect deeper with him. And Jesus begins to seek out guidance from the Holy Spirit. When Jesus starts to connect in prayer with the Holy Spirit, what happens? He connects with the Father. All of a sudden, he gets energy to focus, to continue on in his ministries. He gets recharged. He gets hope again. He all of a sudden goes out and does more things for the glory of God to bring more and more people to the Father. And every time he does that, he pauses and he prays. And he searches out direction, guidance, comfort, encouragement. And that's prayer. And if Jesus, the Son of God, is praying, you and I, as followers of Christ, don't you and I think, or shouldn't we, be on our knees in prayer every single moment? If that's the model, and I mean, Jesus is the Son of God, all-powerful, all-knowing. He shows us saying, this world is tough. This world is going to drain you. You're going to get weak. You're going to get tired. You want to know how to defeat that? On your knees in the presence of the Holy One. And he says, that's the gift you've been given. But why don't we take that serious? Why do we just kind of wink and nod at prayer? I think it's because prayer comes with a lot of complexity. And it's overwhelming for some of us. We make it something that it's really not supposed to be. We think that it has to be big, lofty words. Or you recite what somebody else has said. But Jesus shows us, no, it's just connecting with God. It's having just a simple conversation with him. And it's worth pursuing. There's a time when Albert Einstein was teaching and one of his students asked him this question. He says, what is there left in the world for original dissertation research? All of us just got bored right there, right? Albert Einstein, yeah, I've got a college student right there, right? So Albert Einstein, reply is staggering. He says, find out about prayer. Somebody must find out about prayer. So one of the greatest minds in history is saying prayer is something that is worth figuring out. It's worth pursuing after. It's worth doing. It's worth being in the presence of God. And he's like going, somebody figure it out because it's worth it. Because it's the conduit that connects us to God. It's the conduit that helps us in our troubled times and gives us hope and gives us life again. And Albert Einstein says, figure this out. It's worth the effort. It's worth the time. It's worth saying no to this and yes to God. It's worth saying, you know what, I have to make this a priority, that I'm going to get up 10 minutes early. It's worth losing sleep over. It's worth going to your spouse saying, honey, before we go to bed, I want to just have a moment in prayer with you. It's worth taking a moment at supper time and gather your family together and pause before you eat and going, we're just going to thank God for his provision. And we're just going to have a moment and connect with him. There's a beautiful verse in Revelation chapter 3. And Jesus is kind of talking to the church in Laodicea. And as he's talking to the church, he's telling them that you're neither hot nor cold. In other words, you're not pursuing God. You're kind of in the limbo stage. You got kind of, you want a little bit of God, but you want a lot of the world. And Jesus is like going, you know what? I'm about to spew you out or spit you out of my mouth. In other words, that just God can't hate. He hates it when we're hot. Lukewarm. That's the word I was looking for. When we're lukewarm, he hates that. He hates that where we're just kind of passive with our prayer lives because we're not connecting with him. Because what I would say is how much you pray shows how much passion you have for God. And Jesus in this moment is going, you're not pursuing God. You're not living for him. You're not living it out in your life. And then he says, repent. Repent from it. Repent is to confess that you're not doing it and to turn away from it, make plans to do something new, right? And then Jesus says these incredible words after he says, repent. He says, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. I have loved those words. I've always loved this verse. Because this is kind of like an image of prayer. Jesus is standing there knocking on our hearts, going, I want to come in. He's pounding on the door saying, will you just open the knob and swing that door just a little bit and I'm going to come in. But we have to do something. We have to make that a priority. We have to open the door. We have to pursue him. And prayer is pursuing God. And what I love here is he says, if you pursue me, or you invite me in, I'm going to come in and I'm going to do something. I'm going to dine with you. I'm going to eat with you and you're going to eat with me. And think about that table, you know, being set on a Sunday morning when a family gathers together or an evening when everybody's around the table. What happens around the table? Conversations, right? There's connection with one another. You're having this dialogue and you're telling stories and you're talking about your life and what's going on in your life. And then all of a sudden it's like your family gets you and you get your family in those times. In fact, those times are probably the most precious times in our family where we're around the table. Sometimes the conversations as every family go off to the right. But a lot of times we get to hear what's going on in the hearts of our children during those moments. And then they also hear us. They listen to us sometimes while we're sitting and eating. And Jesus is saying, this is what happens in prayer. We have a dialogue back and forth. You speak to me. I listen. And then I speak to you, and you listen. He says, I want that kind of an intimate relationship with you. I want to come into your life where we have this kind of dialogue. And it's only through prayer, honestly. There's no other way to connect with the divine except through the prayer. And it's not just a one-time prayer where you just kind of go, I did that prayer thing, I did my duty. It's this time where you're just dwelling with God. You're putting aside all of your worries and your list of things that you want God to do, but you're just listening to what he has to say. And when that happens, all of a sudden you get peace. You get hope. You see that this world is not all there is, and you start to rejoice because you have a God that loves you, a God that dwells with you, and wants to have this intimate conversation with you. But you have to initiate it. He's knocking. Will you open the door? Will you make it a priority? And spend some time alone with him. Mother Teresa of Calcutta said this about prayer. Prayer is simply talking to God. He speaks to us, we listen. We speak to him, he listens. A two-way process, speaking and listening. That's what prayer is. What prayer is, it's recognizing that we have a relationship with the divine. We have a relationship with the Spirit of God that's inside of us. We have a relationship with Jesus Christ, the Son, who died for us. And we can't ever forget that prayer consists of the whole Trinity when we're praying. The whole Godhead. And it's incredible to think about that God has given us an avenue to speak to him, but also to listen. And what I have been striving for, and it's very difficult in my mind because of my mind likes to go here, there, and I'm always busy and constantly doing stuff. is just letting God speak. When we are on vacation, and you guys know I love fishing. Now, fishing isn't always just about catching fish for me, because I was practicing something, praying without ceasing. Meaning I was searching God. I was lifting this up, and I was praying about this. And yes, I had fishing poles in my hands, but I couldn't even tell you where I was on the lake. But I was talking to God. And all of a sudden, in a moment, it's like God would go, I want you to focus on this right here. There's somebody right now that I want you to pray for. And then all of a sudden, I'm praying for that person. I'm all of a sudden starting to recognize what God's will is. And I'm praying that will. I'm praying in the Spirit, if you will. Because that's what praying in the Spirit is. Understanding who God is. Understanding what God's will is in this world. And then you start to pray, and you start to have this deeper connection. And then one time I was just walking in the state park, and all of a sudden it was like God said, I want you to pray for one of your sons. And all of a sudden it was like I started praying this prayer, and it actually took me back to some things that I had needed to confess to God first. And then all of a sudden it took me into just a deep, deep prayer for one of my sons. And I can just tell you, the burden that I was carrying all of a sudden was completely lifted. And that's what God wants to do in prayer. He wants to talk to us. He wants us to listen. And he wants to move. Now, as I was doing this time in prayer for myself, there's a prayer that I came across that it really moved me, and I want to share that prayer with you. That prayer comes from St. Patrick. Now, for those of you that know me, I was born on St. Patrick's Day. So I kind of had a little extra connection here. And I was just kind of exploring some of the forefathers of faith and some of those that came before us and just looking at their prayer lives. And, you know, I started to learn about all these different people, and his prayer just kind of sprung up, and it just really moved me. If you don't know much about St. Patrick, he lived in England. And one day he was actually, as a child, captured on a Celtic raid. Because the Celts were kind of a brutal kind of savage barbarians, if you will, at that stage in their life. And they would come in and do these raids, and they picked him up and plucked him from England and brought him back to Ireland. And in Ireland, he became a slave. He was abused there. He was sent out to be a shepherd for 4 to 5 weeks at a time or longer with hardly any food, and he would almost come to the point of starvation. He had no hope. He didn't know where to turn. But all of a sudden, in the middle of his struggle, in the middle of everything going on, he begins to pray. In his memoirs, it says that he starts to pray at least 200 times a day. And he said that as he was praying, he started to see something, the love of God around him. He started to see the majesty of God's creation. He saw the grass and the colors of the grass, and he saw the sheep, and he looked up and he would see the clouds and the little wisps of them, and he would start to see how mighty and powerful God was. And in that moment when he was searching God and looking after God, he all of a sudden came in encounter with the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God started lifting his eyes up, and he started to focus on God, and then all of a sudden he encountered the love and the mercy of Christ. And in the middle of his brokenness, he realized how frail he was, how hopeless he was, and he started to search after God in prayer. And he just continually prayed. And then he said one night that God woke him up in the middle of the night. And he said these simple words, "Soon you will depart for your home country. Behold, your ship is ready." That's what St. Patrick heard from God. A slave, middle of Ireland, 200 plus miles away from any shore. He doesn't have GPS, doesn't have a map, but he takes God at his word and he sets out the next morning on a 200 plus mile journey that would lead him to where a ship was waiting, and it was anchored. And it was a Roman ship, which means that they traveled internationally. And he convinced him to get on the ship, and the ship took him back to his homeland, where there was great reunion. Mom was celebrating. It was an exciting time for him. He went to seminary, and he learned Latin, but yet he felt like he didn't fit. He felt like that was not really his home anymore. He was feeling a call to go back to where he was a slave, where he had been beaten and mistreated. All of a sudden, God was working in him because he was searching after God and God's will and God's desire for him in this world. All of a sudden, he went back to Ireland, and you start to read about the great revival that happened in Ireland because of one man in prayer, listening to God. He went there, and the revival broke out, and thousands of the Irish were saved because of his work. And he wrote this incredible prayer. And I hope you can see how deep his relationship was with God and how much he loved his Creator, even in spite of what he's went through. He says, I arise today through the strength of heaven, light of the sun, splendor of fire, speed of lightning, swiftness of the wind, depth of the sea, stability of the earth, firmness of the rock. I arise today through God's strength to pilot me, God's might to uphold me, God's wisdom to guide me, God's eyes to look before me, God's ear to hear me, God's word to speak for me, God's hand to guard me, God's way to lie before me, God's shield to protect me, God's host to save me, from the snares of the devil, from temptations of vice, from everyone who desires me ill, afar and anear, alone or in multitude, Christ with me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ in me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ on my right, Christ on my left, Christ when I lie down, Christ when I sit down, Christ in the heart of every man who thinks of me, Christ in the mouth of every man who speaks of me, Christ in the eye that sees me, Christ in the ear that hears me. I arise today through a mighty strength, the invocation of the Trinity, through a belief in the threeness, through the confession of the oneness of the Creator of creation. Isn't that a beautiful prayer? I mean, St. Patrick's is just pouring out his heart because he's got to know God. And how did he do it? How did he get that deep of a relationship? How did he know how to pray those things? He started out by humbling himself and recognizing he needed a touch of the divine. And it was in the prayer. And he connected deeper and deeper with God. And he got peace no matter where he was at. And one of his prayers was that God would use him for his glory. And God used him for his glory. I don't know about you. When I read that prayer, I kind of go, I'm a little bit too shallow. I don't sometimes know God that much. Because sometimes we get hung up, don't we, in prayer. We get overwhelmed because we don't know what to say. So why do we pray? Well, there's several reasons. You could list many more than I have. I think we pray because we want to thank someone, God, for the beauties of all of creation, for the things that are going on in our life. I really think that's a deep desire because we want to go, this isn't from me, this is from God, and I want to just thank God. We pray because we feel small and we feel helpless, don't we? We pray for forgiveness because we know that we mess up all the time, don't we? We know that we fail God. So we, in our prayer, we pray for forgiveness, and we know that through the scripture it tells us that if we ask for forgiveness, God is faithful and he forgives. We're released. We find freedom. We pray because we want to connect with the Creator. We just want that connection. And God says, I gave you a gift, prayer. Why aren't you using it? Why aren't you treasuring it? It's a treasure. It's a gift. You find me. I dwell with you and you dwell with me there. Yeah, the world's still a mess. But in that sweet hour of prayer where you're just connected with God, nothing else matters. So why don't we pray? I think we don't know what to say, right? I hear that a lot. Here's what I would tell you. You don't need to know what to say. prayer is simply just coming into his presence and going, God, I'm here. Speak. He already knows what's going on in your heart, in your life. He already knows the hurt and the pain that you have. Yeah, you can confess that and you can talk to him about that, but prayer, you don't have to have all those words. It doesn't have to be eloquent. It's a conversation around the dinner table with God. Whatever's on your heart. Another reason that we don't pray, we wonder, is he really listening? I mean, how many of you prayed prayers and God didn't answer? If you're not raising your hand or you're not going like this, you're lying. Right? Because sometimes we get so disappointed because God didn't answer a prayer like we thought that he should answer it. Or maybe that prayer, I mean, you've been praying it for 30 years and it's like God hasn't answered it. And you're disappointed with him and you wonder, are you even there? Well, Scripture tells us really clear, God is there. He hears. And he is always moving on our behalf for our betterment. Always. Sometimes an answered prayer is a beautiful thing, but sometimes an unanswered prayer is so devastating. Because you start to go, if God can't answer this little thing, then he must not be very big. And what you can't do, and this is hard, is you can't measure God by the answered prayers that you've had answered. When you start doing that, what happens is you get frustrated with God and you start to think he's small. And then you start to lose hope. You can never measure God through the answer to your prayers. Because God has plans and he's moving, he's sovereign, he's doing his will. And when I say praying in the Spirit, we got to learn how to pray in the Spirit. Where we're listening to God, we're praying what he wants. Some people say we're too busy, don't have enough time. How would you like it if God said he doesn't have enough time for you? How would you like it if God says, you know, man, I'm the creator of this universe. I'm holding the stars up over here. I'm holding this person together over here. I'm there with this family. You know, right now that flood, I'm trying to help these people out here. I'm doing all these things. But I don't have time to listen to you. Break our hearts, wouldn't it? And I think when we don't pray and or we say something like that, what we're really saying is we don't value prayer. And I would even be as bold to say as you may not love God. Because the way you pray, the amount of prayers that you put out to him, really is a measure of where you are spiritually. I know that's harsh to say. But I want you to move. I want you to move towards God. I want you to take time and realize how serious this is. We can't just go through the motion of Christianity because it's like trying to breathe and not have any air if you're not praying. Because your spiritual life right now, if you're not praying, you are suffocating spiritually. And when you pray, you get a breath of God and spiritually you're revived. Prayer is important for our founding fathers. Martin Luther, great reformer. Do you know how many hours he spent in prayer? 2 to 3 hours every single day. Susan Wesley, many of you know John Wesley. Many of you might know Charles Wesley as well. It's two of her brood, if you will call it, because she had many kids. She'd wake up 4 o'clock in the morning and pray for her kids. You have... There's a group of nuns called the Sleepless Ones. They believe that we got to pray without ceasing. And you know what they do? They make sure that there's somebody praying every single day, every single hour, every single minute. And they lift up right now. It's still going on. I think they were started in the 1800s. And right now, one of the posts that I actually saw from them, that they are praying for the flood victims 24/7, that God would move, that God would provide. Charles Simons, he rose at 4 a.m. and would be in prayer for 5 hours a day. How many of you spend 5 minutes? 5 seconds? In prayer. I do have a simple challenge. I put it out earlier in the summer, and it was this. Would you take time every day, and I'm asking 10 minutes, that's how to start, 10 minutes that you get up early, and you pray for 7 days. 7 days, and at the end of 7 days, look into your own heart and see if you have a little deeper connection with God, or you've had some healing where you've been broken. You feel a little bit closer to the divine in that moment. Just take 10 minutes and see how beautiful it is. See how wonderful it is. See how much more strength you have. Pray with your spouse. If you're married, pray with your spouse. Take the time. Like, well, I don't want to take that time. It's kind of awkward, and we fall asleep. We'll do it at a different time. One of the studies that I read, just you married people, so you know this, couples that pray together have more sex together. So guys are like going, let's go home and pray, honey, right? You know why? Because there's deep intimacy when you're praying together. There's a deeper connection. Do you pray for your spouse every day? Do you pray for your children? Do you pray for your mom and your dad? Do you pray for your friends? Take time. I mean, there's lots to pray for. For 10 minutes, 7 days. And I guarantee you something will happen. Jesus will come in and he will dine with you. This last verse comes out of Jude, and we're going to look at this a little bit more and flesh it out a little bit more next week. And Jude is a book about persevering under pressure, persevering under persecution, clinging to God when the rest of the world is away from God. It says this in verse 17 of chapter 1 in Jude. But dear friends, and I like the other versions better, dearly beloved, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said to you, in the last times, there will be scoffers who will follow their own desires. These are men who divide you, who follow your natural instincts, and do not have the Spirit. So you have this church, these people, these Christians that were struggling because people were coming in and they had false teachings and they were saying that God is not great, God is not good. And they're putting all these lies into the church. But they weren't moved by the Holy Spirit of God. They weren't connected with God. And you have Jude kind of saying, now these ones, now remember, don't pay any attention to them. They're going to scoff at you. They're going to laugh at you for taking time to pray and have this deep relationship with God. They're going to laugh about that. We're in that times right now, aren't we? How do you stay firm? Prayer. He goes on, he says, but you, dear friends or dearly beloved, build yourselves up in your most holy faith, and pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you eternal life. I mean, Jude just says something so powerful here. He says, make sure that you build yourself up in your faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. What does that simply mean? As we're praying and seeking after God, we're building our faith up. Now, don't get too nervous here when it says in the Holy Spirit, because here's what's kind of happened in our culture. You've had churches who say, okay, now everybody, let's pray in the Spirit. And they start praying in this thing called tongues, right? This is not a verse that's talking about tongues. You know what this is talking about? That you pray in your spirit, the Holy Spirit that's within you. You're so connected with that Holy Spirit, you know exactly what God wants you to pray. And you're praying from the depth and the strength of your faith. And that you know that God's there and God's going to do something. It's not some weird thing. It's that you're knowing God so intimately that you're praying exactly what he wants you to. And you do it together. And then all of a sudden when you start doing that, your faith is lifted up. It's built up. And then he says, keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you eternal life. He says, you know what prayer does? It keeps us in God's love. It keeps us centered there. That's why it's so important. That's why it's such a beautiful gift that he's given. Because he knows that we're frail. He knows that we're weak. And sometimes we don't pray. Sometimes we start to lose faith. But he says, when you stay centered in prayer and centered in the will of God in your prayer life, all of a sudden, your love for God and your faith is secured there. Now, I just want to jump back real quick in Jude chapter 1. And in Jude chapter 1, it kind of gives us this little insight, because there's this thing about, I don't want you to get confused, because we can't keep ourselves in God's love, okay? We can't do that. And Jude kind of fleshes this out, and I want to flesh this out before we close up. Because what happens here, who keeps us in God's love? Who keeps us with the passion to stay focused on Him? Who keeps our eternity? Not us. Not even prayer doesn't do that, but prayer helps build that, keep us focused on that. But in Jude 1 it says, "A servant of Jesus Christ and a brother of James, to those who have been called," so we're called. People are called into a relationship with Christ. God is doing that. He's initiating the relationship. He says, "Those who have been called and who are loved by God the Father and kept by Jesus Christ. Mercy, peace, and love be yours in abundance." I love that word "kept," because you're being kept by Jesus Christ. So there's this thing where God does His work, right? God is keeping you. He is keeping your salvation. He is keeping you in His hand. But then you got to do your part. What's your part? To pray. Stay connected with God. That's your part. It's a both and. God does it all, yes. He secures it all. He takes care of it all. But you got to do something. And Jude says, this is what you got to do to build your faith. When the world is caving around you, when everybody's going sinless, it's your job to build your faith. And it's through prayer in the Holy Spirit. And then just to show you who keeps us, it kind of closes this section out. In verse 24, it says, "To Him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before His glorious presence without fault and with great joy." Who's the one that keeps us? Jesus, right? Real simple. To Him, Jesus, who's able to keep us. And He says, "To Him who's able to keep us you from falling." And you know, what's the opposite of falling? Standing, right? He keeps us standing. Keeps us from falling to the temptations in the world. And then verse 25 closes out. "To the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ, our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore." So how do you get into a deep prayer life? Surrendering. And doing it. It's you going to the door and opening the door and inviting Jesus in. Jesus is faithful, saying, "I'll come in and I got the rest covered. But will you take time to pray?" So I just want you to think about for yourself this week, can you take 10 minutes a day? Every single day until next Sunday. Don't stop at 10 minutes, but at least go 10 minutes. And you get to see God. You get to dine with the divine. It's a beautiful thing. And in that moment, here's what's going to happen. Your faith is going to get stronger. Where you feel hopeless, you're going to find hope. And there's a song that I just want to close this out with. And this song is an oldie but goodie, right? It's a sweet hour of prayer. See, what happens when you take that moment, this is what happens and what goes on when you start to deepen your prayer walk. "Sweet hour of prayer that calls me from the world of care and abides me at my Father's throne, makes all my wants and my wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief. and oft escape the tempter's snare. By thy return, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer. The joys I feel, the bliss I share, oh, for those whose anxious spirits burn with strong desires for thy return. With such I hasten to the place where God my Savior shows his face, and gladly take my station there and wait for thee, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, and wait for thee, sweet hour of prayer. So let's this week just have a sweet hour of prayer where we're searching after God and he's meeting with us. Join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just come before you this morning, and God, we are so grateful that you've given us such a powerful gift just to connect with you. You know what we need, and we need a touch from you. And the only way that we can get a touch from you is when we surrender and start to seek you out in prayer. God, help us to get over our insecurities. Help us to get over saying we're too busy. Help us just do our part, Lord, in our faith journey as we're walking and living this life for you. That we take this serious and we see revival in our own lives, Lord. Then as we see revival in our lives, Lord, we would ask, Lord, that you would bring revival to this church. And that you wouldn't stop here. You'd start to revive the community and then our nation. Lord, we need you. And we thank you that you can be found. In Jesus' name, amen.
This has been a message from Gaines Church in Caledonia, Michigan. We'd love to have you join us at one of our Sunday services. Visit gaineschurch.org for more information. One life, one hope, one destination.